to Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, and I like this, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be back in the house of God this afternoon. Lord, what a privilege to be part of the family of God. Now, Lord, even as I come to this church, Lord, away from my home church, Lord, I don't feel like I'm away. I feel like, once again, I'm with my church family. And, Lord, there's no greater family on earth than our church family. Lord, I thank you for the good pastor here, Father. And, Lord, they're going to have pastor appreciation. And, Father, one of the things I've learned in having served as a pastor, Lord, is the things their pastor and my pastor does, Lord, the constant call upon them. And, Lord, every pastor works 24 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they're delighted to do so, Father, in serving you and serving the congregation. But, Father, I do pray, Father, that the church indeed let their pastor know what a good man of God, and let him know their appreciation, their heart for him, as I know he appreciates and loves them. Now, Father, meet with us tonight. Lord, we sure need to hear from heaven. And, Father, we know you want us to hear from heaven, so I pray you'll speak to our heart. Do that what needs to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, one of the things I began to notice this passage, and it's really an amazing passage of Scripture. One that tells us about an amazing, a very true and amazing experience that Isaiah the prophet had. In fact, it tells us, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, the prophet also saw the Lord upon his throne in heaven. Wasn't that amazing? Now, could you imagine seeing such a sight? How would you like to look up to heaven and be able to see? Because he's there. Amen? I know we used to start off, and I think we got what we did it as kind of liturgy or just formality. But I kind of liked it in the days. I still like the song. Y'all remember the song? Holy. Y'all know that? Holy. Holy. Is the Lord Almighty. Don't that remind you of this text? What a holy and righteous God we serve. But he said, I saw also the Lord sitting on his throne in heaven. That's, in fact, if you don't mind, and you got your pen and marking your Bible, what the Lord impressed upon me was this one phrase from which comes this sermon. I saw also the Lord. I saw also the Lord. Now, from our Bible, we discover three truths about seeing also the Lord. The first important truth that we discover about also seeing the Lord is seeing the Lord upon His throne, found in this particular passage of Scripture. Look back with me, if you would, verses 1 through 4. In fact, that's exactly what it tells us. In the year, and I want you to notice this. Now, this is extremely important. In the year King Uzziah died. Now, that's the first part. Then you see the second part. I saw also the Lord. And what an amazing experience it would. But we really don't see three things about seeing the Lord upon His throne. The first thing I notice about what it says here about Isaiah is what he saw. And there's really two scenarios. And that's really, I think, the very thought the Lord wants us to have. Here's godly King Uzziah. Been a great king. But like all of us, what happens to him? How many of y'all plan to die? Don't want to die. How many of y'all know we will die? I mean, that's certain. Well, here was Uzziah, been a good king. And the man of God loved him. But now when he looked, he was really kind of saddened, I believe, because Uzziah had died. So that's one scenario. That's one thing he saw. And then the next thing, the Bible said, but had this great experience, but he said, I also saw the Lord. I also saw the Lord. He said, I saw the earthly circumstances. But he said, God enabled me to look beyond my earthly circumstances, which are temporary. Amen. Now, if you're going through good times, it's temporary. If you're going through bad times, it's temporary. In fact, the one thing Jesus tried to tell us in His teachings, this earth is a temporary condition for us. We live it, but He said, don't strive for the things which are temporary, but for the things that are eternal, things that are permanent. Here's a major teaching of the whole sermon. You've got to look beyond our earthly circumstances and keep your eye on your eternal circumstances. If you live 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, praise the Lord for that. If He gives you good health, I think of the song we sang, Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun. What? We've no estate. Brother Chris, it's going to be eternal. Amen. But this life, in comparison, good or bad, it's temporary. I think that's a great illustration in our Bibles. Jesus is telling us in Luke 16 about two men whose earthly life was really in contrast with each other. He said there was a certain rich man who fared sumptuously every day. I mean, linen with purple clothing. I mean, this man was well off. And somebody say, amen, I wish it was me. But to be honest with you, compared to the people of the world, we're all well off. Amen? We're well off. Here's this man, his earthly life. Now, in contrast, and we do go through good periods and we go through some very difficult periods. In contrast, here's this man, he gives his name, Lazarus. But Lazarus wasn't well off. His circumstances were hard. He was a beggar. He lay at this gate, body full of sores and more of the dogs came in. Didn't even seem like he had anybody cared about it. But here's the point the Lord's making. Earthly circumstances are temporary. Now, I try to stay out of trouble. Is that okay? I called my preacher one day. I said, how's it going? He said, Brother Melvin, I'm having a great day. I only got one man mad at me. So I try not to make anybody mad if I can help it. But I think of our former president, Donald Trump. He is a billionaire, right? I think that's right. A billionaire, millionaire. I mean, he does not have a shortage of money. He's been allowed to be president of the United States. I think did a pretty good job. Been prime president. But when he dies, that means nothing. You hear me? It's over. You can have the world. You can have all kind of blessings. But that isn't permanent. That's only temporary. So here's this rich man. He perished sumptuously. But he died. And here's Lazarus. Had nothing, but he died. We see beyond. I also saw the rich man. He opened his eyes in hell. Eternal circumstances, everlasting, forever. And when I've been there 10,000 years burning, I've no less days to suffer if I go to hell than when I first began. So if a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl can keep his focus upon heaven, well, certainly focusing on earth. What a great servant. It requires that to be a great servant. So here I see Lazarus, didn't have anything, but now he's in Abraham's bosom in paradise. So when Isaiah, the first thing I noticed is he saw the Lord upon his throne. I noticed what he saw. He had a dual focus, and that's what Christians is required in Christianity, the Lord tried to tell us about. Second thing that I noticed, what he discovered. He actually discovered two things when he saw the Lord. And I think if you really... By the way, I think the Lord can be seen in the sense of the word. If we desire to be, if we seek after the Lord, we'll find ourselves close to Him. The more we seek, the more closer we get. But the amazing thing about the Lord is the closer you get to, sometimes the worse you look. Or maybe I should say the bad news is the farther away from Him, you never see how bad you look. You understand? So here's this man. No, wait a minute. You're talking about Isaiah the prophet. Great man of God. Why? If anybody's a good man, a great man, he says, Isaiah says, woe with me. He saw himself a sinner. I think it's really, when you see the Lord, you kind of take an inward look if you see yourself as you are. I don't know you. I'm a preacher and I know other preachers. We all alike. We are far from perfect. Amen. The only perfect man was the Lord Jesus, right? Why, we have to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I done gooped up again. Preachers alike. There's not a preacher who doesn't struggle just like you struggle. Amen? And like you ladies struggle. So, he saw himself. The first thing to get right is to see what's wrong. And he got it straight. When he professed it, by the way, if we confess our sin, he's what? Just and righteous to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us all. There he was. He sees himself. And you would think, well, surely not Isaiah. He said, oh, I'm a wicked sinner. And then he discovers the second great thing that I like in this text. When he saw himself, the angel came and brought that live coal and put it upon him and said, here's what he discovered. My sin can be forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? What if you could not have any sin forgiven? What if this young man back here, and I like him, he's in the Air Force. I like military folks. Amen? I do. And I served a while. I was a National Guard. I didn't have it as hard as he did. Except for 6 months at Fort Polk, Louisiana, during the Vietnam War era. Well, even though I stayed stateside, they trained me like I was going overseas. They like to kill me. Okay. But I like the military folks. He's a fine young man. But we're not perfect. And we had to continuously work. But you know the great thing about it? I heard preachers say, one time, and I was trying to think of his name, and he didn't quite come to me, a preacher we used to, Tom Hayes. Remember Tom Hayes? Tom Hayes is a great Bible preacher. I was standing out here about the middle. We had kind of dismissed. He was talking to somebody up here, and he was telling him, he said, you know the great thing about the Lord? Now, I know Chris is always at his best, right? Love Chris, too. Chris does some work for us. He is a craftsman, a great, great young servant. But he made this statement. He said, you know that the Lord loves you just as much when you're at your worst than when you're at your best. My testimony after years of serving the Lord, and just like you, years of failing often and had to confess and ask God to help us do better, right? Amen? There's never been a time He has not loved me with a love that's unbelievable. I have never felt less love when I mess up. It's a perfect love. Isn't he good, Brother Fleming? He just loves you. Isn't it amazing He loves us at all? Amen. But He loves us. So here's Isaiah. He sees the Lord. He sees His earthly circumstances. But he sees beyond that, and saw, though, I think it was a life-changing thing in his life. We see it in chapter number 6. And so he gets his focus upon the Lord. He discovers that he's a sinner, but the Lord forgives sinners. And that's a wonderful thing. The third thing I note about him is what he heard, and it's important. And I guess this is kind of progressive. When we desire to see the Lord and seek after Him and we feel close to Him, then we see ourselves and how short we come. And then here's Isaiah. He hears the Lord. And the Lord says these words. Now here's a few minutes while ago, just confessed. He, woe with me, I'm an unclean man, I'm a sinner. But suddenly, when he's forgiven of his sin, he hears the Lord say, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? What does he say? We need, you and I need to hear the voice of the Lord. He still said, by the way, he said, well, if he said, whom shall I send, who shall we send, who will go for us? I'd go if he said, I think you call it the Great Commission, don't you? But he does say this, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the labor's a few. So here's Isaiah, who has a life-changing spirit. What he did is he saw the Lord upon his throne. And I've heard this saying, you have too. Somebody that kind of, in a critical tone, said, I tell you right now, they might say about Brother Chris, hey, Brother Chris is so heavenly minded, he ain't no earthly good. Brother Chris, I ain't met anybody like that. I met people so earthly minded, there was no heavenly good. Which, by the way, would sometimes fit all of us, wouldn't it? If we also see the Lord, it's the one thing that keeps our spiritual life going in the right direction. I remember the missionary, he was a optician. And he felt the call of the Lord to go to the mission field. And he was giving up his practice as an optician. And he was a married man. And his father-in-law was not real happy. Giving up all that money, taking care of his daughter and grandchildren. Now the man going to the mission field. He said, you're a fool to give up all this. How can you give this all up? You claim to be a doctor, you're a medical doctor, and you're going to the mission field. Of course, the thing was taking my daughter and my grandchildren. Going to be poor. And he made this famous statement. No man is a fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. You know what happened to that man? He also saw the Lord upon the throne. And he gave his life in his service. Well, the first truth is the truth about seeing the Lord upon the throne. And Isaiah did. We can too. It's a life-changing experience. The next important truth we discover about seeing also the Lord is the truth about seeing the Lord upon the cross. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Just one of the many places that we can pick. Matthew 27. And I want to look at verse 33. As we look to see the Lord upon the cross. The Bible said, and when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, the gate inventor to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down they watched him there. Now, it's an amazing thing we can see, because we can see the Lord upon the cross. And it's an amazing thing to do. There are two things about seeing the Lord upon the cross. The first thing is what you and I see. Now, when I read that, my mind immediately went to the prophet, the psalmist, chapter 22 of this book of Psalms. Way before Calvary, way before it, he saw the Lord upon the cross. What amazes me, the most graphic description that we can find in our Bible of the crucifixion is really found in the book of Psalms. Look what he saw when he looked forward seeing the cross. He looked forward, and first thing I noticed, he hears or sees a cry from the cross. His first thought side in that psalm, my God, my God. Let me write out the words of the Lord. Why has thou forsaken me? Then, foreseeing the cross, he sees the crucifixion, and he said, they pierced my hands and my feet. I am told that the crucifixion was not a form of death nobody knew about that time, way before people were dying of crucifixion. But he spoke of that. Then I see a scourge in my bones look and stare at me. I am told when they would scourge people that it would cut them so deeply it would expose the bone. Speaking of the scourging, the mocking. I tell you, this is a graphic description. He trusteth on the Lord that he will deliver him. Let him deliver him, see he delighted. I mean the very words spoken there when Jesus was being crucified. Then I see that even says, they part my garments and among them and cast lots for my vest. I mean, here's all these things that when I read in the book of the Gospels, I find them. I'm getting a little older. And I'm proud of it. I'm not dead. You know, that's an advantage to getting my age. I lived this long, for I got fairly good health. Praise God. Amen. And who'd want to go back and start over anyway? Amen. I mean, I'll say that word. But the Lord has been good to me. He has blessed me and given me days of my life. But one of the disadvantages I had, nobody else in this church my age or even close to my age might have, I don't sleep like I used to sleep. I don't sleep as well. Now, I don't know if any of y'all had trouble with that. My nights are not... I used to lay down. I sleep like a baby, wake up time to get up. I mean, I'm so rested, just sleep good, have good dreams. Now I wake up about 1 o'clock, I can go back to sleep. By the way, your pastor does. When I pastored, it was especially bad. And I think that's what it kind of settled on me after I quit pastoring. But when you pastor, you got things on your mind. There's always people with problems that break your heart. So he goes home exhausted. He'll sleep about 4 hours, probably. He wakes up. He sleeps 4 hours because he's exhausted. He wakes up and he starts thinking about those things. You cannot go back to sleep. It's hard to go back to sleep. But one of my problems is my dreams. I don't have nightmares, but it's always stressful dreams. I have dreams. I stand and got to preach to somebody and open up my Bible, and it ain't even like a Bible. I can't even find the books of the Bible. They're not there. And I'm fitting to preach. That's stressful. Amen. And I have these stressful dreams. I prayed. I said, Brother Rick, I prayed. I said, now, Lord, I'm having trouble with these dreams. And they are. They're stressful. But they're not nightmares. They're just stressful. I said, now, Lord, I'm a preacher. I've been preaching the Bible all my life. How come I can't dream about the prodigal son? Yeah. You know. Or how come I can't dream about the woman at the well? It looks like all these sovereigns I preach, I dream over some of these things, don't it? So me and the Lord having a talk. And I'm kind of encouraging him to make my dream a little better. And I remember saying, but Lord, I don't think I can stand to be at the cross and see the crucifixion. I don't think my heart could stand. Lord, I don't ask for that. What if you stood at the cross of Calvary today? And you heard what I've read and you saw his condition. And then somebody said, he's dead. The Savior's dead. Wouldn't that be terrible? But we see the Lord upon the cross. Now, the psalmist foresaw. We can look back and we can see the Lord because we've got recorded in the Bible what he did for us. But I remember the night Brother Chris, I really called it the night I saw the Lord upon the cross. And if you're saved, you all have this experience. I had always known about the cross. I always believed Jesus died to save sinners. I always believed everything the Bible said. That night I went home at 11 o'clock that night. I had got under conviction because I saw a young man get saved, and it was life-changing for him. And I just kept preaching about being born again. I'm thinking, I ain't sure what that is. You know, I'd always been in church. I'd always read the Bible. I'd prayed for missionaries, give money, since I was a little beady fella. But that night, I began to wonder, well, something wrong. I don't know what. Lord, am I saved? Am I lost? I don't know. I went home that night about 11 o'clock at night, went in there, and in my own home, when suddenly inside my heart, I heard just as clearly as I'm going to say it to you, Donnie Melton, you are as lost as a man in jail for murder. Exactly what I heard. He said, maybe it's just your thought. I heard it. And for the first time in my life, I was a good young man. I'd been raised right. I'd cut my teeth on the Bible. I wasn't a womanizer. I didn't drink alcohol. I didn't smoke cigarettes. But I was just as lost as a man. It hit me. I'm going to hell. I know what men who couldn't murder go, Brother Chris. And the same Holy Ghost, I think, brought me to that place. Do you know why Jesus died on the cross? That's when I saw Christ on the cross the first time. He died to save sinners. He died to save you. Boy, like a light bulb came on. I rejoiced. He died to save me. I said, oh God, you sent your son to die to save me. And as best I know how, I want to trust this night and what he did on the cross of Calvary. I saw the Lord upon the cross that night. If you're saved, by the grace of God, you've seen the Lord upon the cross. But I think it would help us to time to revisit and remember what he did, because nothing you're called on to sacrifice in this world could be more than he did. Amen? He sacrificed for us. And so we see the Lord there upon the cross. But then I also, when I see the Lord on the cross, it causes me to hear some things, what we hear. My mind, when I was preparing this message especially, I thought, well, when you see the Lord on the cross, there's something that you hear, and I think you'll hear it too. I can hear Jesus talking to Nicodemus. You know what he said? Call John 3:16. It's Jesus doing the talking. He's the one that's going to die on the cross. He said, "For God so loved the world." Now, he is the Son. That he gave his only begotten Son. Him. He just talked about must be lifted up like the serpent. He's headed to Calvary. He foresaw. He said, "God so loved you that he gave me. And whosoever believe on me should never perish, but have everlasting life." I say this to some of you young ones. When you're young, you kind of worry about death. Somebody dies, he's like, "Oh, that could have been me." You get older, death isn't such a worry. You know it's going to happen, first of all. So, you mean, Brother Melton, they take your body and they're going to put it in a casket and they're going to put it in a grave. And they're going to take my body, but they're not going to take me. I'm going to be out from the body presence with the Lord. Because I've trusted him as my Savior. No wonder the angels, the night, but I'm talking about at his birth now. At his birth. I think you have it on outside on the Bible that I read one side and the other side. I think it's out in the Bible. But at his birth, but I tell you, Chris, at his birth, the angels were so excited. You know what they said to those shepherds? "Bring you good tidings and great joy. For unto you is born this day, unto all people," by all people, didn't we hear that sentence? All people, "a Savior, which is Christ." I mean, even at his birth, it was settled. He came to die on the cross so that you could have everlasting life. By the way, you don't have to fear death when you see also the Lord. I'm going to be, even in my body, I tell folks, I remember when I got in my 50s, I started, my hair got a little thinner. And men are vain. They don't like losing hair. Amen, fellas? We weren't happy with it. But I thought, man, if I'm in my 50s, that's the worst thing wrong with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I do like to say this. In my what's your glorified body going to be like? I think I will have hair. Amen. As I look beyond this life, I see that I will have a glorified body. I'll be fellowshipping with you for all eternity. No problem. But I don't have to wait to get there. It's going to change how I live if I also see the Lord. So, we can also see the Lord upon the cross. But the last thing, turn with me to the book of Thessalonians. I think we was talking about that, leaving the Sunday school out as well. And talking about seeing the Lord. One of the great truths about seeing the Lord is we can, and maybe we will, see the Lord in the clouds. Turn with me to the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. There we find the Bible saying these words. The Apostle Paul was writing, speaking of seeing the Lord. And he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, and we which are alive remain for the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now, these great verses. "For the Lord himself shall descend from the heavens with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." What an amazing sight it would be. And it could happen tonight. Amen? How many of y'all believe that the rapture is imminent, could happen anytime? Would be wonderful. Amen? Be wonderful. This life out beyond, and you know, if your life is good, if your life is bad, it's going to get better. If your life is wonderful, it's going to get better. Because when we go be with the Lord and ever present with the Lord. So, we look at three things that when you see the Lord in the cloud, there are three things that we can see. Number one, the Bible says there, first of all, the grave is going to burst open, for the Lord shall descend, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Every saved, well, everybody really, but let's just do it. Every saved person that you know, maybe your mommy, your daddy, brother, sister, friend, they may be out there, their body, in the graveyard. But the dead in Christ shall rise. I was preaching a funeral. I was standing behind the pulpit at the Castaways here. I had a woman, three little old children. Daddy had died as young. It was the most heartbreaking. The wife was crying. Children were, I almost cried. I want my daddy. I want my daddy. I want my daddy. Oh, it's heartbreaking. And here I'm supposed to try to comfort them. I remember I stepped down, and I knew my doctrine, but there's a practical side as well as a theological side. And the Lord kind of spoke to me. Here's this man laying up. I say, folks, you don't have to say goodbye. Just say, see you later. Because when Jesus arose from the dead, we're guaranteed you're going to see him again. Even the dead shall rise from the grave. All over this world, these cemeteries are going to be disrupted. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, for the dead shall rise, for they shall hear my voice and come forth. What a day that'll be. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that comforting? When we see the Lord in the cloud, the dead is going to rise. But them which are alive and remain shall be caught up as well. So not only are the dead going to rise from the graveyard and get a new body, but those that are alive is going to be caught out. How do I say this? I don't have much confidence in the news media today. Instead of telling me facts, they tell me their opinion, especially during the elections and talking about I'll never forget when Mr. Trump won the election. I was watching CBS. They just know that, what's her name? Who? The lady that won, right, went against him? Hillary Clinton. It was sewed up. And when Trump won, they couldn't hardly talk. But they always want to say, they say things, form an opinion, rather than trying to give you the accused. They don't say accused. He that did this, he did that. They don't know none of that stuff. Now, don't want to make you mad, but some of our Republican commentators do the same. If you want to hear facts, don't listen to the news. But can you imagine the news broadcasters, what they're going to say when millions of people leave America and then all over the world? Oh, it's going to... Now, you want your church full. You couldn't get to the altar here. These people that we try to reach and we need to try harder are going to fill this church up. Oh no, he can't be. Oh God, please. Please, you come. You can't leave me here. And sadly, some of the people we serve with in the church that truly wouldn't say, cried out. But we that are alive go to see the Lord. We'll be in the cloud and we'll see the Lord in the air. Then the Bible says there, the last thing, as we rise there from this earth, that's the great thing, is we see the Lord in there, and the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. As we also see the Lord. You know, some will be taken, some will be left. But people that are unsaved are going to see something you will never see. Not like they see. Over in Revelation, about chapter 21, I believe it is, something called a great white throne judgment. It's not the judgment seat of Christ, which is the saved. It's the judgment seat of the damned, the lost. and they're going to see the Lord also. The books are going to be open, and it's really very clear. They're guilty, guilty, guilty. If they, Brother Chris, if they were good people, the Lord would say, "But I gave my Son on the cross for you. You never trusted Him." The worst, wickedest sin in the world is to reject Christ after He died for us. Then the Bible said, and the book of life will be open. And it'll be searched. And it'll say, "Sir, I do not see your name in the Lamb's book of life." Angels, cast him into the lake of fire where he'll burn forever and ever. The Bible said, and they were cast into the lake of fire, Brother Chris. They also saw the Lord, but they saw him too late. And for all eternity. You see, if they could have looked ahead and saw where they spent eternity, I believe they come enough. In fact, that's what the soul winner really does. He helps. You know what you do when you go soul winning? You guide them so that they can also see the Lord and see eternity. Because eternity is coming. Here's this man. He, Isaiah, also saw the Lord. He saw the earth and the circumstances. People saw the Lord. And there are many that's going to see him too late. There could be one. If you must ask me, I'd really say this. Of course, I don't know. You say, "Brother Melton, you met those folks over there at Gilead. Which ones do you think are saved? Which ones do you think are lost?" And I look. I gotta go home with that one. I better be good to her. And to be honest with you, I'd say, as far as I can tell, they all say. But I don't know. Sunday school teacher, choir member, lived as good a life as you can live in the flesh. If you had asked about Donnie Melton at Clark Chapel Church, "Oh, he's a fine young man. He's teaching our Sunday school. He's singing in our choir. And he's headed straight to hell." I sure am glad I also saw the Lord on the cross. If you have, you know it. It wasn't just some little old profession of faith. It wasn't some little old prayer. You found yourself on conviction of the Holy Ghost of God that you're lost. I'm going to say this. Biggest reason people don't get saved, they don't get lost. Once you get lost, the easiest thing in the world to do is get saved. Amen? Why? I said, "I'm lost in my life." It's just like he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." He fell on a deep conviction. And then we see that we can be saved because Jesus died. That's when it all makes sense. That night, the Lord, I told you I struggled with being born again. That night, I got born again. So how did your life change? Then this boy came into church. He never went in church. So there's a drastic change for him. And it was good. He just said Christ all over him. So how did you change? You know, I've always believed the missionary to pray for him. Read my Bible, prayed, went to church. Because you're supposed to if you're a Christian, right? It's Sunday morning, we've got to go to church. Because we're Christians. It's never been like that since. When I walk in the house, I get excited, even though nobody's at church seeing the empty pews. I mean, I love to go. I love to read my Bible. I may neglect it sometimes, but I love to read it. Boy, if I get in my private place and pray, I tell the Lord, "Lord, there's just nothing like this." I change inwardly. Done the same thing out with me. Never been the same. I'm glad to be a Christian. Amen. I'm glad to know beyond a shadow of a doubt if I died right now. Because there was a time I also saw the Lord. But if churches, I remember it, all of us, could look beyond our earthly circumstances and realize it's very temporary. And see the Lord who gave His life. I believe our service would be better. Amen. I believe our prayer life would be better. I believe we'd be better able to serve Him. In fact, if you do nothing else tonight from this message, just take that first, right there in the first point of that, and put underline it. I saw also the Lord. That's what we need to do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for steering our heart toward those words. Lord, I'm glad that I've been privileged to see the Lord upon the throne. And Lord, I remember answering my call into the ministry. And everybody has a call to serve. Mine was in the ministry. Lord, there was a time in my life I couldn't even hardly give my name on roll call. I was an introvert. But Lord, You look beyond my fault because I had plenty. It was the will of God that I be a preacher of the gospel. Lord, I don't know why You'd have someone like me. But I can say this. I'm sure of two things in my life, Lord, spiritually. One is, I know beyond a shadow of doubt I'm saved by the grace of God. If I died tonight, I'd be in heaven. Number two, Lord, I've never doubted that You called me to preach. You made me sure. Lord, I look back over my life, and I'm so glad You let me have just a little part in serving You in this way. But every Christian can have the same part, maybe a different calling. We're all missionaries. We're all witnesses. Lord, help us to look beyond our present circumstances and also through the Lord. And let it be life-changing. Have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen. That's